Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services. Total Country
Bob FM. Bob Almanac today. Good to be here. Good to see you. Good to be seen. Terry and Becker said, didn't Taft get stuck in the bathtub, the White House? Seems to me like I remember hearing about that.
Don't know if it was...
And then he got stuck in the door, but it was like Meathead and Archie, where they tried to go through the door at the same time. Remember that bit on All in the Family?
Yeah.
They would do that with his vice president. They'd get stuck going through the door.
Could happen.
His vice president was a waif model.
Ah.
So let's get into today's almanac. We're going to have an almanac salute today. Mm. This is the theme to the McNeil Lair NewsHour. The Lair Report. One half of the McNeil Lair News Tandem. If you got your news from PBS, it wasn't the most exciting show. They were pretty stoic.
Yeah.
Giving the news and, I don't know if they did it without their opinion, but nonetheless, it was an hour-long show because it was NewsHour, Neil.
Yeah.
And Robert McNeil of the McNeil Lair News Report passed away.
Ooh.
93.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Died late last week. Is Jim Lair still with us?
That's a inquiring
mind. I don't remember doing an almanac salute for him recently.
No.
But it's Robert McNeil, the McNeil Lair Report. They started that show on PBS back in 75. And in fact, those two guys, it was their coverage of the Watergate hearings that got them their own show.
Jim Lair passed away January 23rd, 2020.
Okay. All right. So it has been recently.
He was born in 1934, 66, 86. Not quite, 85.
Okay. Monday, April 15th, it is tax day. Get those in time or file an extension.
Right.
I'm all set to go. Are you set? In that department,
I hope I hear from my tax guy today.
Today would be the day.
Yeah, I mean, I dropped them off a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So
I tell you what, those tax preparers, I talked to somebody Saturday who lives in Alaska but came down here for a special event, and he is a tax preparer, and he had to get back, he had to boogie back in time for today. That's just, it's a crazy time of year for the people that do that. I bet you they don't get much sleep. They're probably doing it at all hours of the day.
For sure.
And doing their best to get us to give as little money as possible to the government.
Yeah.
Right.
It's time to make hay. Yeah.
They don't need any more.
No. Gosh.
So this date, 1865, you already mentioned it. Abe Lincoln dies 9 hours after he is shot by John Wilkes Booth. So it'd be like the previous night he was shot.
Right.
Attending the play Our American Cousin.
Right.
At Ford's Theater. Washington, Andrew Johnson sworn in as the 17th President of the United States. It was certainly sad, a tough time for the nation as the Civil War was ending.
He was only 56 years old.
He was. And as we found out, he was 6'4".
Right.
But you put that hat on, he was like Fletch in his afro.
Yeah.
He was like 6'9" with his stovetop hat.
For sure.
Exactly. No. Is it not stovetop? I'm thinking of the stuffing.
Yeah.
Stovepipe. Stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
Stovepipe hat, not the stovetop hat.
Yeah.
Although now I want stovetop stuffing.
Yeah, with a little gravy.
Have you ever just taken stovetop stuffing and just like put it in your mouth dry?
No.
Like it's just a pinch between your cheek and gum?
I have not.
Better try it.
Okay.
It's good stuff. Especially the stuff that's already mixed and got everything. Like the microwave where all you do is add water and then you throw it in. And then you heat it and you've got stovetop stuffing. You can take that dry stuff and just a little pinch. It might hurt at first.
But it'll soften.
Once you moisten it up a little bit, it's better than any chewing tobacco. And I've never chewed tobacco, so I guess I wouldn't know.
Well, I don't think it would take much to be better than chewing tobacco.
No, not at all. The one time I put it in my mouth because it looked good, I know I was less than kindergarten, I'm pretty sure. And the refrigerator was open at my grandparents' house, and my grandfather on my mom's side chewed Copenhagen. And there's this little kind of can. It looks like something that candy might be in or something. And I opened it up and took a little bit, put it in my mouth, and as I want to do, I like to eat.
I think it didn't work out.
I'm pretty sure I turned green.
Yeah, that didn't work.
It was not good, and it was such a bad experience. I still remember it to this date, and wow. I was probably four. So there's that, right? 1892.
We bring good things to live in.
Commercial jingle time.
We bring good things to life. We bring good things to life.
GE brings good things to life, including sure Frankenstein's monster. I don't know if you knew this, Dr. Frankenstein. A lot of the equipment that he had in his laboratory... General Electric stuff. GE stuff. You know, electricity was needed to bring the monster to life. So when they say, that's, I think, where they got the jingle. They bring good things to life. It started with the Frankenstein's monster on this date. Because if they were using Westinghouse, there's probably a good bet that it wouldn't have worked. So they went with General Electric. But General Electric was formed as Thomas Edison's General Electric Company merged with the Thomson-Houston Electric Company. J.P. Morgan was a big part. You know, J.P. Morgan was the money behind Thomas Edison because he was one of the
men that built America.
You got it. So that was 1892.
Majestic.
First Olympics on this date.
Nice.
Came to a close in Athens, Greece, 1896. That's why the 1996 Olympics were in Atlanta for whatever reason. Because Atlanta, Athens, you know. Atlanta's Atlantis, I don't know, the Greek, I don't know. It would have made sense to be in Athens, but it's very possible that Athens, modern-day Athens, doesn't and would not have the infrastructure to host a modern Olympic Games.
Probably not.
Like in 1996. But, you know, this isn't even the Olympic theme, really. This was a TV theme.
Oh.
ABC commissioned this, like, in the late 60s to use during their broadcasts.
Okay.
So it really had nothing to do with the actual Olympics. It was the TV broadcast. But now... It's recognized
synonymous,
as,
synonymous
it would be the word that I would use, certainly. So that was 1896, 1912.
Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Iceberg, run ahead!
Thank you.
Iceberg, and by this point in time, 1912, it had already hit the iceberg, and this was the date the Titanic sank.
Oof.
And it went deep and took water.
It sure did, and sank, took a lot of people with it.
Sank to the bottom. There were almost 900 survivors, though.
Yeah.
But there were so many people on there, more than 1,500 people were killed.
Oh.
Although the one woman on that door survived.
Wow, yeah.
Of course, I'm making note of the movie.
Yes.
What's her face? What's the name of that actress, Neil? You're great with actress.
Winslet?
No. Yeah, Kate Winslet.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I wasn't going to come up with it, so that's very good. I'm impressed.
I haven't even seen Titanic.
You are kidding.
No. I saw part of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
1947, near this date.
The pressure on Jackie Robinson was enormous. The Dodgers owner, Branch Rickey, who took the risk of hiring the first black player, warned Robinson he would be held to the highest standards imaginable.
I'll certainly do my very best on the field.
I'm very sure you will.
All right, there's Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson. History made this date. So I'm assuming today all the baseball games, they'll be wearing his number 42.
You are correct. I would believe so,
yes.
Yeah.
So 1947, it was the color berry. You know, you watch that Ken Burns baseball thing, and I watched it again for the third time or whatever. And it was interesting because guys like Connie Mack and John McGraw actually came up, this was years before, tried to get black players to come and play and try and get them on their team, and Major League Baseball would say no.
Really?
This was just when the Negro Leagues were, you know, they were really good players. And they were trying to bring some of them up there. But
20s?
Well, whenever it was. Yeah, it was decades before 47.
Right. I mean, John McGraw was
with the
managing, in the 19...
Yeah, he was early.
Hundreds. So, 04, 05.
So Jackie Robinson, this date, 1947. How about 1955?
You've been going strong all day.
Yeah.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
So first we've got bringing good things to life.
Now
we're doing you deserve a break today. It is a banner jingle day. Some
it
of the
really
big,
is.
Big banners in the history of jingles and banners and all kinds of stuff. That's McDonald's. First McDonald's opened, at least Ray Kroc's first McDonald's. Of course, there was already a McDonald's in California with the McDonald brothers.
Yes.
But Ray Kroc took that idea and that name and then turned it into his McDonald's. And They've got a few stores around.
It worked out.
Yeah. Hamburgers were 15 cents. Fries were 10 cents.
So you get a burger and fries for a quarter.
Des Plaines, Illinois is where they built the first one, 1955. Nice. And I thought I saw something recently where they actually... Did they tear down the first original one just recently?
Mm.
And or did they put a replica in its place or something like that? There's some construction going on. Maybe they were fixing it up, but it would have been a shame if they teared down the first one. That wouldn't have been good if they had torn it down.
I would think they would find some way to keep that going.
1965, this date, NFL news. The NFL changed the penalty flag colors. Did you maybe you knew this? I'd forgotten it, that originally the penalty flags were white.
Oh, no.
Until 1965, and they changed it to bright gold.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the high-vis type color. Bright gold, 1965. White would have been confusing with even now.
Towels. And
even now, because some guys have towels of that color. They have shoes and things, and the shoe falls off, and it looks like, oh, no, from a distance, that might look like a flag.
Right.
But the bright gold went into effect in 65. How about 1967?
And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
So Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra, Something Stupid, hit number one. It was on there at number one for 4 weeks. The first father and daughter act to hit number one.
How about that?
1967. I don't know if it's happened again other than Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole, which, of course, wasn't an actual duet. That was Digital Magic, Neil.
Okay.
Where they put it together, they mixed it. Remember when they did Unforgettable?
Oh, yeah.
Early 90s. That was, of course, that was done after the fact, because Nat had passed away. But
so you're talking about on the pop charts.
Yes, this is on the pop charts, exactly.
Because weren't the Kendalls, they were father-daughter.
They were father-daughter. And, of course, Conway sang with his daughter, Joni, and Toby Keith sang with his daughter on Mockingbird. So it's happened more often, I think, in country than it has in the pop and rock genre. But that was it's weird to hear a father and son sing a song like Something Stupid, because that's a love song.
Yeah,
father-daughter.
Yeah, that is it. Boy, they sounded good together.
They sounded good together. Really, but the subject matter, Neil. I'm talking about the subject matter.
Yes, for sure.
It's a little weird.
It is weird.
A little weird. 1982.
I had to go to a hospital in New York. I got surgery on both hands. And there was a big thing in the press. Will he ever play again? I was worried about that at all. I play rock and roll. I'm not Vladimir Horowitz. I was never that good to begin with. So I wasn't worried about would I be able to play again. Sure, you play with your elbows if you have to. It's rock and roll.
There's Billy Joel. He was talking about the motorcycle accident he had on this date in 82.
Oh, that was a big deal.
He had to be in the hospital for a while. He stayed for over a month undergoing therapy on his injured hands and self-deprecating there.
I liked
it.
That
was kind of funny. And, you know, he just did his CBS celebration
of
his 100th show at Madison Square Garden. Apparently, CBS cut away from the concert for a Masters update, and people weren't happy about that. Just heard that. Whoa. So I wasn't watching. I plan to watch that. It's like streaming on the old Peacock. No, not Peacock. Paramount Plus, Neil.
Oh, I got to see that.
So you might want to check that out.
I am not going to jail. I've done nothing wrong. I have done nothing wrong. I'm innocent. My only crime is that I'm Leona Helmsley.
And that you didn't pay taxes, because she said only the little people pay taxes.
Right.
Leona Helmsley. She was the queen of mean. She ran a lot of hotels and apartment buildings and tax evasion. 4 years, she was going to prison this day in 92.
And now Ogrodnik clearing it to center. It's Ludwig giving it to Dolan. 4 seconds, 3, 2, 1, and it's all over. The Stars lose it here, 5-3. And now it's pack 'em up time, and on to Dallas. We wish them good luck. And to all the North Stars, over the past 26 years, we say thank you, all of you, for so much fine entertainment. It's been a pleasure knowing you. Minnesota's loss is definitely a gain for Dallas.
And there's Al Shaver.
Oh, my God, he
was
the best.
Wrapping it up, this is the last ever North Stars game this date in 93, a loss at Joe Louis Arena.
Is that Alf Dahlin?
Ulf Dahlin, yes, and Bob Gainey was the coach.
Right.
They were off to Dallas. They didn't make the playoffs. They were knocked out of the playoffs. They needed a win and a Blues loss or tie. But that TV broadcast was interesting because usually it was Doug McLeod who was the TV play-by-play guy. But for that game, they let Al Shaver do the TV play-by-play. And I wonder if Doug did the radio then. Because actually, Al, and just for this game.
Right.
It was the last game. Al had been, of course, the radio broadcaster since the beginning in 67.
Yeah.
So he is doing the TV broadcast there, along with Wally Shaver, his son, which was kind of neat. That was a special thing. I don't remember that until I see that video. But anyway, North
Al
Stars.
Close and Wally Electric Shaver.
Yes, exactly. 2013 this day.
What year was that again? 94?
93,
okay. Thank you.
2-mile course. Boston's is one of the world's six major marathons. Runners from more than 90 countries. The winner crosses the finish line at 12:10. Then, at 2:50 p.m., more than half the runners were through. The first bomb explodes just a few yards from the finish line.
It was a scary day on Patriots Day
ever.
In Boston. That's 11 years ago now. The Boston bombings, the two pressure cooker bombs that were set up by those two Chechen brothers. Can't remember their names now. But, one ended up dying. The other one was in custody.
Right.
One was killed in a shootout.
Yes.
They were looking for him. He was hiding in a boat, and they were using infrared. And there was quite a chase that took place. There were three deaths and multiple injuries on this date. And today is Boston Marathon Day. It's Patriots Day today. So, ever since then, the security has been stepped up tremendously.
Right.
5 years ago.
As vicious flames engulfed the 850-year-old masterpiece of Gothic architecture, France's president said a part of us is burning.
Like, I saw a lot of people crying on the streets, and it's all because it's the symbol. It's the symbol of France. It's the symbol of generations.
The Cathedral of Notre Dame burned on this date, caught fire.
Yes.
And I just saw something that's 5 years ago. They're close to completing the renovations and the fix-up and rebuild.
Nice.
Of that.
Boy, you see the footage in your mind. Yeah. It was a major deal for sure.
That was my fear when I was the acolyte for church during confirmation to be the acolyte. I would fall over and then start the place on fire.
Yeah.
You walk up the stairs going to the altar to light the candles. And then
one trip.
You do the Johnny Carson Karnak thing. Where he trips and then lands and crashes into his desk.
Right.
But luckily that never happened. And it was an accident. There was construction going on at the cathedral at the time, so they believe it had something to do with some of the renovation that was going on 2019. Let's move on to birthdays.
You went away and left me long time ago.
Edmonds.
Nice.
Singer, guitarist, songwriter. He's from Wales. He's Welsh.
He's talented.
And he's 80 today. He recorded and released Queen of Hearts before Juice Newton did.
Oh, I did not know that.
Think about that. That's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah? And what are you going to do? I just ain't going to take any of the crap. That's all. I don't take no crap from nobody.
Sonny.
Hello, ma'am.
Aren't you supposed to be in homeroom right now?
I was just going for a walk.
You were just dawdling, weren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
That is no way to start a new semester, Mr. Lattieri.
He was Sonny Lattieri from Greece. And, of course, that's Eve Arden as the principal at Rydell High. Sonny Tucci, played Sonny. Michael Tucci, 78 here today.
Putting a squeeze on the old boss, huh?
Maybe just a touch.
Well, you're a good worker, Doug, and I'd hate to lose you. So what's it going to take to make you happy?
Zone one.
No can do. Anything else?
Zone two.
Two? That's right next to one.
Zone three or four. It doesn't matter. Just anything with single digits.
No way. Tell you what, if you can wait a year, I can get you 13.
I'm in 12 now. Well, listen, Doug, I'm trying to work.
It was Doug Heffernan's boss at the old IPS. Supervisor O'Boyle.
There's anything I can do.
He's been in a lot of things. The actor Samuel McMurray is 72.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
Oh.
Think, McFly. Oh. Think. Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
He was Biff. He stole the show on a number of occasions.
He sure did.
In Back to the Future.
Yeah, and, all of them.
Yes.
He was so good.
Thomas F. Wilson today is 65.
And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high.
You remember this one-hit wonder?
Yes. I don't know who it is.
Four Non-Blondes.
Oh. This was a monster song.
If you were blonde, you were not going to be in that, or you were not going to be in that band.
Evidently not.
And they would test you.
Oh.
They had various ways to test, you know, the,
right,
the
carpet,
roots. Carpet and the blinds and, you know, various other blood deal. Tests, make sure that you weren't just coloring your hair.
Sure.
Linda Perry, lead singer of Four Non-Blondes, happy birthday, 59.
TV theme time, Jim.
Law and Order SVU fans.
Yes.
Detective Nick Amaro, Danny Pino is 50 today. Chris Stapleton,
just
country
here.
Singer, blues. I guess the show was great at
That's
U.S.
That's what
Bank.
I heard.
50. He's 46 today.
Okay.
Okay, so we have an African Jew wearing a hoodie.
No, you don't.
No.
That's not what I said. Is that what you heard me say? I said he looked like you. Do you look like an African Jew?
No, I look like a cop.
Yeah, yeah. Seth Rogen is 42. Bit of a stoner.
Very funny guy,
but
though.
Very funny. He's 42 today.
Harry, no way. You heard what Madam Hooch said. Besides, you don't even know how to fly. What an idiot.
Harry Potter's gal pal, Hermione, Emma Watson from the Harry Potter movies is
Hermione,
34.
Isn't it?
I don't know what it
I
is.
I think it's Hermione.
It might be. Yeah. Emma Watson is 34 today, and if you're a Game of Thrones fan...
Tomorrow, I'm going to be chasing cats.
Cats? Serial says.
He says every swordsman should study cats. They're as quiet as shadows and as light as feathers. You have to be quick to catch them.
See, cats are good.
Yeah, I guess.
She was Arya Stark on Game of Thrones. She was the youngest of the Stark clan, and she had a... She had a sword that was called Needle.
Oh.
It was small, it was skinny, but it was deadly.
It was lethal, I'm sure.
Maisie,
a lot of people felt it.
Maisie Williams, Game of Thrones, 27.
Gone but not forgotten today, Jim. We're going to start with artist Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci, born on this day. Did a lot of famous stuff.
And he had a code.
Yeah.
Which
yes,
used,
he did.
And he incorrectly used it as his PIN. At the ATM, he was often scammed.
Well, that serves
him right. Because
everybody
knew his code.
Right. Born on this day, the year was 1452. He was the Dr. Seuss narrator and also the voice of Snidely Whiplash on Dudley Do-Right, the great Hans Conrad.
Meanwhile, a short distance away, Snidely Whiplash was up to his favorite pastime, tying women to railroad tracks. He soon had unexpected company.
A Mountie!
Correct!
Pardon me, sir, but do you happen to know the way to the Royal Canadian Mountie Camp?
Why, yes, I do. Oh, this pesky knot. Could you give me a hand, or rather finger?
Always willing to help a citizen in need.
Good thing not all Mounties were as dumb as Dudley.
Correct. Oh, they don't make cartoons like that
They
anymore.
Certainly don't.
1917 for Hans Conrad. She was Samantha and America's sweetheart on Bewitched, Elizabeth Montgomery.
Really remember our first date?
Are you kidding?
I'll tell you exactly what you wore. It was a red silk dress with buttons up the front.
It was pink, it was wool, and it zipped up the side.
No, pink, red, same difference.
Of course, how would he remember? Because that's Dick Sargent. Dick York would have been on the first date.
You can't hardly blame
so
him.
Can't, no, exactly. Right. He was making it up
he
anyway.
He was right, and hoping that she wouldn't remember.
That was Darren number two.
Aha. Elizabeth Montgomery played that role so well, and she was born on this day, 1933. We were talking about hee-haw and now she-haw, the guy that was one of the instrumental, to say the very least, the great Roy Clark.
Yesterday, the moon was blue, and every crazy day brought something new to do. I used my magic age as if it were a wand.
I did Fave Five look back songs, reminisce songs. This was in it. I can't remember what number it was.
Yeah.
It had to be high.
So talented, so funny, and yeah, I mean, I did get to see him in concert down in Branson. Man, the guy can play everything. Just super skilled. The great Roy Clark was born on this day, 1933.
They're all gone, but not forgotten, because we got to fit in one you missed.
Lonely women make good lovers.
No time for Dodie Fayette, although he's a great driver.
Yeah.
They're all at the mercy. A good-looking, smooth.
He was the boyfriend.
Yeah, right.
Bob Loomis. Yeah, it was nice you got Roy Clark in.
Right, should have gotten Bob.
Bob Loomis, 1937. Yeah. I like this better than the Steve Warner.
It's a really good version, for sure.
All right, Faye Five.
Now they are all gone.
The whole thing here, Almanac brought to you by Authority Fence.
All that.
Keep your kids safe, your yard private, and your pets secure with Authority Fence. Over 60 years of combined experience, family-owned Authority Fence uses only premium-grade vinyl, chain link, and aluminum maintenance-free fence products. Back to the lifetime warranty. Enjoy safety, security, and privacy with Authority Fence. Go to AuthorityFence.com, click on their free fence estimator tab, and get the ball rolling. Or give them a call, 320-558-4488. Authority Fence, Minnesota's maintenance-free fence specialist and a proud Minnesota licensed contractor since 1994. Neil, here are your options. Wagon wheel, sticks and stones, or I don't want to be a memory.
Sticks and stones today.
WQPM Princeton. WLKX Forest Lake. KDBG Albany. KDBG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KDGY Faribault. KLCI Elk River. KLCI HD1 Elk River Minneapolis St. Paul.
Bob.